Number 247, Fill Me Now, Fill Me Now. Hover o'er me, Holy Spirit, bathe my trembling heart and brow. Fill me with thy hallowed presence, come above and fill me now. Fill me now, fill me now. Jesus, come and fill me now. Fill me with thy hallowed presence, come above and fill me now. Thou canst fill me, gracious Spirit, though I cannot tell thee how. But I need thee, greatly need thee, come, oh come. Events of the end times. And we're right down to the very end of things here now. We've gotten to what we call the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's referred to often as the millennium. That comes from the Latin word for 1,000 years, millennium. And this is the time when the Lord will have returned from heaven and he's going to set up his kingdom here on earth. What a great time it's going to be. People think that some of these new world rulers come into power and they think, whoa, we got a new age coming, a new day coming. And they find out that they're just like all the rest. And it's just not going to work. And it's men's government, not God's government. But there is coming a day, folks, when Jesus himself is going to return. The very same one who came the first time to die on the cross for our sins, is coming again. Stay right there at Revelation chapter 20, but go over to Acts chapter 1. I just thought of this passage here. It would be applicable, I think, to read this right now. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. This is the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. After his death, burial, resurrection, for 40 days he appeared unto his disciples, and then he ascended back to heaven. And here is the account of that in verse 9. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. I think, isn't it interesting? That's exactly how the rapture is going to happen for us. We're going to be taken out and received up in a cloud, just like Jesus was when he left. When he comes back in the clouds to rapture the church, we're going to go right up just like this. But a little bit more information here, verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. These are angels. Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And so on Mount Olives is where Jesus went up into heaven, and to Mount Olives he shall return. And then he's going to fight that battle of Armageddon, which we studied already a few weeks ago. And he's going to destroy all the wicked armies. And all the lost are going to stand before him at the judgment of the nations, dividing between the sheep and the goats. The goats are going to be sent off into everlasting fire. The sheep are going to go with him into the kingdom. And the sheep would include a living people at that time who've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're born again. They're going to go into the kingdom with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now those people will give birth to children during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And the population is just going to explode during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. So much for, you know, one child per family kind of thing. I don't believe the Lord's for that. Happy is the man who has his quiver full. That's biblical. And so children are going to be born and raised during the kingdom age. So the population is going to grow. Now, those children will need to be saved like anyone else who's born at any other age. The difference is that during this coming age called the kingdom age, Jesus himself will be here. Why, you would think that the whole world will follow after the Lord Jesus Christ and everything will be fine for all eternity. But no, that seventh dispensation, which will take 1,000 years, is going to show once again the futility of man to save himself, and to show also the evil heart of man, even though his environment is totally cleansed and cleaned up and perfect, he still with an evil heart will not, as a whole, will not follow after God's plan of salvation. Then after that, the eternal state will begin. And then everything will be as it ought to be for all eternity. So we've got some things to look at here. And we already looked at, starting with the subject of the kingdom, only the saved enter into the kingdom. But of course there's going to be children who are born who will need to be saved during that time. We saw that the kingdom age itself is a complete fulfillment of all the covenants that God made with Israel. The Abrahamic covenant, you know, where God said, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation, and all the families of the earth will be blessed with you. And I'm going to take you to a land, I'm going to give you that land as an everlasting inheritance. We saw the Davidic covenant, where God promised to David that, David, you're going to have a son who's going to rule on your throne forever and ever and ever. Some probably thought that was Solomon when he came along, but oh, he failed terribly. But you know, even the Bible says that Solomon was the greatest and he was the wisest of all the kings that ever lived. But the New Testament comes along and we find out that a greater than Solomon is here, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's in the line of David, and he has a right to the throne of David, which is going to be the throne over the whole world. I know the nations of the world, the United Nations, they don't like the idea of Israel ruling over the whole world, but that's the way it's going to be. That's just the way it's going to be. And the Hamas and all the rest of the Muslims and everything, the Russians, they can all vote in their councils and everything else against Israel. But one day, Israel is going to be on top. That's just biblical. It may not be liked, may not be wanted, but it's what God wants. It's what God has said. And Zion, Jerusalem, is his place. It's Emmanuel's land. And Emmanuel is coming back someday, and he's going to rule from Jerusalem over all the earth. Then there's the Palestinian covenant. That's where God promises that portion of land to the children of Israel forever and ever. He even says to them, you stay in this land, I'll bless you. You leave this land, you're going to have trouble. And that's why they had trouble when they went down into Egypt, until they came back through the Red Sea, and Moses led them up to the land, and of course Joshua took them into the land. They were not back into that land of blessing until they got back into the land. There's a promise that God has made. And having said that, I want to tell you, you know that the actual land that God has promised to Israel extends from the Nile River all the way up to the Euphrates River in Iraq. That's all their land. And right now they're giving up land in order to get a little bit of peace deals and things like that. But all that land that they're parceling up and dividing off and doing power plays with, someday, from Nile, that's out in Egypt. I don't know how they like that. I wonder if they got any fundamental preachers down in Egypt preaching that. Wow, they might get in big trouble. But the Nile River, all the way up to the Euphrates River, on the map, you take a look at it, that's a pretty big portion of land. That's Palestine. That's Israel's land. That's Emmanuel's land. That's the 12 tribes of Israel's land. It's going to be there someday. Things are going to be different when King Jesus comes to rule and reign. And, you know, things are always different when you let Jesus reign in your heart and life. Things are always different. And they're not as what you would think. But when the Lord comes into your heart, He changes things. When the Lord comes back to this earth someday, He's going to change things. In fact, I even believe when you read some of the scriptures that the topography and the geography of the whole land has got to change because the dimensions of the city and everything push right out into the Mediterranean Sea. So the Mediterranean Sea is going to have to back itself back, give up some of its land because Israel's going to live on that land. I know up in the Netherlands, they have their dikes and everything, you know, and they try to recapture some of the sea land and everything. Well, the Lord's going to do that same kind of thing, but with His own power in this millennium day, someday soon. You know what? These events that I'm talking to you, we tend to think, oh yeah, way down the road that's going to... You know, folks, how close it is? It could be 7 years from now. 7 years from now, the things we're talking about will be in place. Well, think about that. If the rapture takes place today, there's the 7 years of tribulation, then the Lord's coming back to do the things we're talking about right here this morning. And then there's the new covenant, where God said to Jeremiah, I'm not going to make another covenant with them like I did with Moses. I'm going to make a new covenant. I'm going to put my law right into their very members, right into their heart. And He's already done that even now in this age, in the church age, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Are we under the law? Are we under the Mosaic law? No. Very clearly the New Testament tells us we're not. We're under a new law in our very members, which raises us and causes us to live in a plane much higher than the law could ever bring men to. Because, frankly, the law could never make men perfect. But the new covenant makes us perfect in Christ Jesus. Cleansed and made whole. And even in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 23, it talks about a covenant that God's going to make with Israel where He's going to put His law in their very members. And His Spirit is going to be poured out upon them. Oh, what a day. It's going to be a great day. I hope you're already experiencing the blessings of the new covenant. Didn't God say to Abraham, Abraham, through you I'm going to bless all the families of the earth? So if you're experiencing the blessing of the new covenant, it's because it's part of the Abrahamic covenant as well. All these things work together and come to pass. And it's good to be able to sit here this morning and say, thank God I'm saved. Thank God I know the Lord, this one who made this new covenant with Israel, and He's already making it with us, the church, and someday we're going to be raptured out. 7 years later, Jesus is going to come back. We're going to come back with Him, and He's going to set up this wonderful kingdom age here right on this earth. What about Satan during this time? Let's look at it. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 3, okay? Revelation 20, 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of a bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is, and I've underlined the words, which is. This is, which is, not maybe, or you might think it is. No, which is, very definite, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. You know, you can read some commentaries where guys take these things and they allegorize everything in the book of Revelation. And they'll say, well, really what this is God's going to grab a hold of all the governments of the world and all the financiers in the financial markets. Guys like Andy, going to grab hold. No, he's a saved one, so he won't have to be worried about it. But all those other crooks, and they'll say, somehow God is going to just grab all them and put them into a position where they're not powerful anymore. No, no, no. This is the devil being talked about here. The real devil. You talk about a counterfeit or a conspiracy going on. It's the conspiracy, we can call it the Luciferian conspiracy. The conspiracy of Lucifer. He is going to be grabbed a hold of, and it says, verse 2, bound him 1,000 years. And verse 3 tells us how. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. Underline the word deceived also. Deceive the nations no more. That's what the devil is doing right now. You know, I just don't put any hope in the governments of this world. I hope you're not putting your hope and everything into it. Boy, sure, it would be nice if we had a good government. He's deceiving the peoples of this world into thinking everything's going to be okay. He deceives the nations no more, it says, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. So for 1,000 years, you know, I take the Bible literally. I don't know about you. I just take it just what it says. There's going to be 1,000 years. That's actually a long time. I mean, America is a little over 200 years old. And it seems like it's an old country. What about 1,000 years? You know, that's like USA four times plus how long we've been around. That the Lord is going to actually be here on the earth governing and watching over and judging, making sure everything goes right. I mean, things aren't going to be allowed to go on in His kingdom that aren't right and good. I don't believe there's going to be any bars in the kingdom. No bars. And I think Hollywood is going to be out of business. Maybe there'll be a Hollywood. But Hollywood is out. Done? Oh, but no. Out. TV, you won't even have to have ratings. Everything coming over it will be good for the family. Everything will be a blessing. Imagine CNN news coming on. Well, today we'd like to give you news about what King Jesus is doing today. It's all going to be about King Jesus. And we're not going to hear about the alternative party, the rebel party. No, King Jesus is ruling fine, doing well. He's not getting old. 1,000 years. He's not going to get old and die. All the other governors and that, they get old and die. Our Savior ever liveth. He's able to make intercession for us because He lives forever. There's not going to be any end to this. Maybe under their breath, boy, will we ever be able to get rid of this King Jesus? No, he lives forever. Oh, we're going to have to be governed like this forever? Amen. Yeah. The saved are going to say amen. The lost in the kingdom, are there going to be lost ones in the kingdom? Yes. For you, did you see there where it says he must be loosed a little season? Loosed a little. Let's just jump ahead a little bit. We will go over this again, but let's just jump ahead a little bit. Go down to verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the world. He hasn't changed it. You know, 1,000 years in a bottomless pit. There he is. He'd think about things. Maybe change his mind? No. Mm-mm. You know, that's the thing about angels in the angelic world. When you look at all the scriptures, and I'm not going to say I'm going to be dogmatic about what I'm about to say to you, but it's what I believe I see in the scripture. There was a point in time when the angels made a decision, one way or the other. And those who decided to go with Satan, one third of all the angels decided to go with Satan. The rest stayed with the Lord. And those third that left are never going to change. There's no indication in the Bible that they're ever going to change or they're going to repent. They've sinned and there's no Savior or sacrifice for the angels. When Jesus came and approached some of the demons who were working on people in Jesus' day, they were afraid. afraid of him, thinking that he had come to consign them to the hellfires already. And they didn't know what to do with Jesus' appearance on earth the first time. Well, what's he doing? Is this it? Are we going to be consigned to hell? And they were afraid. Amen. But they don't change their hearts or minds. Here's 1,000 years. You'd think the devil would figure it out. Well, he has figured it out, but he can't change. That's his nature. He's like that. And Jesus describes him for you in John 8:44. He's a murderer. He's a liar. He's a thief. And he isn't going to change. Thank God you can be changed. Isn't that something? The sinner can be changed. Because we have one who came in our image, like a man like us, Jesus Christ. And he went to the cross, he being perfect, paid for all of our sin. And we can say, I will repent of my sin and trust him as my Savior. And he will make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This cannot be said ever about Satan. He doesn't change. Continuing on, verse 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations. Now these would be the nations that are under Jesus' rule and reign, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. Those are terms for the Gentile nations and the nations of the world, to gather them together to battle. The number of them is as the sand of the sea. And it says as. So, it doesn't mean literally there. See, in the Bible tells you when to take it literally and when to take it figuratively. Yeah, it tells you. It's the Bible is its own commentary. Isn't that something? It's good. You don't have to wonder what to do with these things. It's as the sand of the sea. Can you go out and number the sand? You know, that's a ridiculous thing to try to do. Well, you won't be able to number this number of people who up until this time have been under the rule and reign of Jesus. No bars, no wicked movies, infidelity in marriage and things like that be allowed to go on. No stealing, greed and covetousness, no bribery. The justice system will be perfect. Wow, won't that be good? You'll get justice and it'll be quick, speedy, done right away. All these people have been living under this. When the devil is released and he deceives them. Oh, good. Here is our hope. Our hope. Here is our change. And they're going to go after this one. And they're going to follow him. He's going to bring them up. Verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. If you wonder where that is, the beloved city. Well, we know what that is. That's not Washington, D.C., okay? That's Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the holy city. Handel's does a good job with that, the holy city, the music of that. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived, there's that word again, deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. Oh, beast and false prophet are. Yeah, if you look back in chapter 19, verse 20, the beast was taken with him, the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, this is the Antichrist, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And here I find 1,000 years later, they're still there. They didn't get burned to a crisp. They didn't cease to exist. They didn't lose their identity. Now, they're there. Still burning in hell after 1,000 years. And they've got eternity to go. That's ridiculous to even talk about in terms of time. There's no time there. It's set forever. Lost forever. And the devil's cast in there with them, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now I take that literally. Oh yes, take it literally. Tormented day and night. So there's going to be time in hell somehow. It's set up that way in hell. Oh boy, forever and ever. So the relation of Satan to the 1,000-year reign of Christ is the God of this world is removed, folks. For 1,000 years, the God, the little g God of this world is removed. He's taken out of the play, out of the way. He's not there. And we're going to actually have people living in a realm here on earth of living and giving birth, children, raising them up, doing business, going to work, things like this. Having Jesus as king in Jerusalem, governing all the nations of the world, all the presidents and all the leaders of the country are going to pay homage to King Jesus. Every year they're going to bring their taxes. And it describes this like on camels' backs, and they're going to bring them up there. And I guess the green people wouldn't mind that. Yeah, we'd get back to camels and things like that. They'll be bringing all their tributes to Jesus. It's going to be a wonderful time, a wonderful day. Satan is going to be removed out from this. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, in light of this. How important is this? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us what the devil does right now. Well, just imagine if he's removed. All right, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And there you see, in whom the God of this world, there's no doubt who this is referring to. It's the devil here. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Certainly, it can't be any of God's servants. This God of the world here is the devil, the deceiver. The anti-God, the anti-Christ one, the dragon, the Satan, devil, all the terms you want to give to identify the devil here as the God of this world. He hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Let's take this person who does this out of the picture. Whoa. How do you think our evangelistic efforts would be if we could just pull this God of the world out of the way? You think it'd be better? I think it'd be better. But I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't secure that all will now believe because he's taken out of the way. It's just another problem that's taken out of the way. But you're going to find that even though Satan is taken out of the way, men's hearts are evil still and able to continue to keep them from coming to the knowledge of the truth. Man is going to be tested during this kingdom under the most ideal circumstances and still fail. Still fail. All right, let's do a little give and take here from you here. There are seven dispensations, aren't there? Seven dispensations. What's the name of the first dispensation? Innocence. Did you hear that, Andy and Linda? Did you hear that? They're in the fourth dispensation right now, so we won't expect them to know anything beyond the fourth dispensation, all right? But the rest of you have already done this two, three, four times already, all right? Innocence. We know man failed under innocence, don't we? They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that is Adam and Eve, and they failed. That was a perfect place. There was no sin there. And man made a decision to disobey God. Death. That's why my wife and I have to go down for this memorial service today. You know that? There'd be no death. There'd be no cemeteries if it weren't for man's failure in the perfect Garden of Eden. All right, they're cast out of the Garden of Eden. The second dispensation is what? Conscience. Now they have the knowledge of good and evil. God says, all right, you know what's right and what's wrong. Do what's right, everything will be fine. It didn't take long. The first example is Cain. He knew what kind of an offering to bring. He refused to bring it. God even said, Cain, you know what to do. Do it and everything will be fine. And he got angry, he wouldn't do it, and he ended up killing his brother who did do the right thing. That's how much he hated goodness and righteousness. He killed his brother. Brother Abel. See those trucks going up and down the road, Cain is Abel. I think that's kind of cute use of the slogan and all. But Cain's not Abel, that's for sure. Cain is not Abel. Abel is Abel, and Abel's a type of Christ. Cain's a type of the lost man in his sin. And so in time, man became so corrupt, not doing the right thing, that God had to send a flood and wipe them all out under Noah's, in Noah's day, the Noahic flood. What's that? Human, what? Human government. Human government. And Noah comes out of the ark. God says, all right, scatter all over the face of the earth, replenish it, multiply, and I'm going to give you the tool you need to govern yourself. Govern yourselves. And if any man takes another man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. That's the ultimate tool of human government called capital punishment. Which, by the way, should still be in existence today, should still be used. We do know that man failed to govern himself at the Tower of Babel. Build a tower, top priest up to heaven. Instead of scattering, he gathered. And that's what the devil does. Whatever God scatters, the devil gathers. What the devil gathers, God scatters. For instance, the church. God would gather the church. The devil would try to scatter it. God would scatter the nations over the face of the earth. The devil would say, oh no, we need to become one world. One world government. Sound familiar? One world government? One world church? One world religion? One world finance? One world money? One world leader? That's coming. Oh, it won't come. What are you talking about? Hey, where you been lately? Where's your head been lately? You like the ostrich putting it down into the ground? These things are coming to pass, folks. This world's headed toward that. And so this devil, he's out of the way, but men's still going to do these things with him out of the way. And so the fourth dispensation is what? Promise. God makes a promise to Abraham. And he says, Abraham, you and your children, stay in the land, I'll bless you. Down to Egypt they go. You know, Abraham went down to Egypt, got into trouble. Isaac went almost down to Egypt, he got into trouble. Jacob had 12 sons, and you know what they did? They sold Joseph into Egypt, and they thought they got rid of him. But God was working to save them anyway, but they ended up all down in Egypt, slaves. The Passover, blood on the doorposts. God's mercy and grace brings them out, back up into the land. And then they come to Mount Sinai. Oh, by the way, there you go. God says, look, Abraham, I will do this for you. You stay in the land, I'll bless you. Did they stay in the land? No, they didn't. So even Israel fails. Next dispensation is what? The law, Mount Sinai. God says, all right, I'm going to give you my law. If you do what I tell you to do, everything will be fine. Oh, we will do everything the Lord says to do, Moses. Tell the Lord we'll do whatever He wants. All right. Up to the top of the mountain, Moses goes. God gives him the Ten Commandments. And on the way down, they're already breaking the first two commandments. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. What did Aaron do? Made a golden calf. They thought Moses was surely gone. He took too long up there, 40 days. He crashed those tablets of stone on the rock, and they broke up, symbolic of man's breaking of the law. He can't make himself perfect. Man can't do it. And then, of course, right up to the time of Christ, Jesus Christ dies on the cross, and He fulfills the law for which man could not fulfill, provides a way of salvation which the law could not provide, a better sacrifice and everything, better blood, all that on the cross. And on the day of Pentecost, He starts what dispensation? The sixth, the church age. The church age. We live in it now. Hey, we're in that. We're in the church age. How's the church doing? Oh, boy, the church is a mess. It's filled with every hateful bird and fowl and everything else in it. It's corrupt. Oh, there's a true church. As there has always been a true remnant in all those dispensations, by the way, hasn't there? There's always been somebody who's faithful and true. All through every one of the dispensations. And there is a true, faithful, remnant church, which the Lord's going to rapture out of this world at any moment. Looking forward to that. I'll tell you what, that false, counterfeit church is going to just go headlong right on into the tribulation time, follow the Antichrist and everything else. They're not even going to know what's going on. They think everything's fine. And that mystery Babylon harlot is going to lead them right on in to the tribulation time. Boy, we're really hitting a whole lot of stuff here, aren't we? And I better stop or I'll never get to that memorial service. But what I want you to see is, obviously, the church as a whole does not does not succeed. It fails. Paul even told us, there will come in the last days perilous times. There will come false teachers into the church, false doctrines into the church. And folks, we have that going on today. It's a hard thing to find churches that are still faithful and true to the Word of God these days. It's a hard thing to find. They seem to be falling like flies. You know how flies die when you spray them with insecticide or something? They just fly and drop off all over the place. That's what it seems like is happening. It's a sad thing to see. But what it's showing is that man is not able to bring himself up to the standard God sets each time. So we come to the seventh dispensation, which is what? The kingdom age. And let's bring Christ right down out of heaven, put him right here on earth, and see if man will meet the challenge. He does not. And even under the most ideal circumstances, man is tested and he fails. Righteousness will be made known to man without Satan here to spoil. No one will be able to say, the devil made me do it. Mm-mm. No. They're going to disobey the Lord Jesus Christ. Their human, sinful nature will be exposed. You know, when the first time came, Jesus said to them in John chapter 15, verse 22, now that I'm here, you have no cloak for your sin. You know, when Jesus comes, He exposes men's sin. And if a church is rightly preaching and teaching the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, it will expose people's sin. When you rightly teach who Jesus Christ is, it will make people say, whoa, I'm in trouble. I'm a sinner. I mean, look who Jesus is. Look who He is. Look what He's done. Listen to the words that He preaches. Look at His power over sin. He can make the blind to see, the lame to walk, the dead to rise up. I mean, this Jesus is somebody great. What have I done with Him? I take His name in vain. I've turned from the preaching of the good news and say, I don't need that. I'll get to heaven my own way. I have my church. I'm doing good enough. I'm not as bad as other men are. And these are the things people do in opposition to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I tell you what, folks, I'm going to close with this, but we need to be uplifting and exalting and preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to be doing. And of course, we need to have the right Bible to do that too. The written word and the living word are both the same. Perfect, without error. And we got to be preaching this so that men, when they hear it, they say, whoa! If this Jesus be who you say He is, I need to do something with Him. Yes, you need to accept Him as your Savior from your sin. Which people during the kingdom age, when He's here, need to do the same thing. You know what? They're going to be preaching the gospel even in the kingdom. I don't understand it. I can't figure it all out. Well, you know, Jesus is down there in Jerusalem and He's got His emissaries, ambassadors all through the countries preaching about Jesus down there in Jerusalem. And they'll say, well, take us to Him. Okay, let's go. Let's go see Him. And they'll go down and see Jesus. I wonder if He'll talk to them. Give them an audience like the Pope. It'll be a lot better than that. He'll talk to them and many of them will receive Him as personal Savior. It'll be a great day. It'll be great. I suppose they'll have choirs, and you know this, I'm saying suppose, I don't know this for sure. Choirs in Jerusalem, all over the face of the earth, singing the praises of King Jesus. Why, you'd think everybody'd get saved. While we were sitting here this morning having communion and we were praying, I thought, boy, you know what, Lord? Everybody around here needs to be in this building right now. Everybody in town should be here. Why aren't they here? Why is it that so few come? Well, it's not going to make any difference. Even in the kingdom when Jesus Himself is here, they're still not going to fully trust Him like they should. And when the end comes and the devil's released out, a great host, which you can't even number, are going to rise up in opposition to King Jesus. But that isn't going to last long. How about it? Have you trusted Jesus as your personal, your own personal Savior? Don't sit there and say, yeah, I know He's a Savior. He's a Savior. Is He your Savior? Is He yours? He wants to be your Savior. with every head bowed and every eye closed, so that someone can make a decision if they want this morning. If you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior from sin. Wow, I see how bad off I am in front of Him. I want to repent and trust Him as my Savior today. I want to be saved and know that I'm a child of His and headed for eternity with the Lord. I'm going to raise my hand that you might see it. I want you to pray for me." Is there anyone here like that? I'll not embarrass you or anything. I'd just like to talk to the Lord about it. Is there anyone like that? Raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I need to be saved. I do not know for sure if I have biblical salvation." Would you raise your hand? Father in heaven, we thank you for a wonderful message of salvation through Christ. Bless our hearts with these matters of good news that we talk about. Give us a good afternoon, and thy will be done concerning the service tonight and weather. Help my wife and I as we go down for this memorial service that you'd bless it. Prepare people's hearts even now to receive Christ if they haven't, and for those who are saved, that we might comfort them with the Scriptures over the loss of one whom they will see again, because she's saved and they're saved, and we're all going to be with you someday in heaven. Thank you for all you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.